and in the Arvut system, the article Mighty Rock of My Salvation. In the Hanukkah song, we say, Mighty Rock of My Salvation, to praise you is a delight. Restore my house of prayer, and there we will bring a thanksgiving offering. The song begins with words of praise. To praise you is a delight. And then begins with words of prayer. Restore my house of prayer. Afterwards, it returns to words of thanksgiving and praise. And there we will bring a thanksgiving offering. Thus, of the temple. But the important thing is for a person to first have a desire to sacrifice the will to receive. And since the will to receive is the very essence of the created being loves it. And it is very difficult for him to understand that it must be annulled, or else it is impossible to be rewarded with anything spiritual. In corporeality, we see that a person has a desire and deficiency that concerns him, which comes from inside his body. And there is a desire that one acquires from the outside, not from himself. In other words, if there were no people outside who begot this desire in him, he would never feel that he needed it. But people on the outside beget that desire in him. For example, a person alone will still want to eat, drink, sleep, and so on, even when there are no people around him. However, if there are people around him, there is the matter of shame, where others compel him. Then he must eat and drink what people around him compel him to. This is apparent primarily in clothing. At home, a person wears what is comfortable for him. But when he is among people, he must dress according to the way others see it. He has no choice, since shame compels him to follow their fancies. It is the to follow their fancies. It is the same in spirituality. A person has a desire for spirituality within him, which comes from himself. In other words, even when he is alone and there are no people around him to affect him or from whom to absorb some desire, he receives an awakening and craves to be a servant of the Creator. But his own desire is certainly not big enough for him not to need to enhance it so he can work with it to obtain the spiritual goal. Therefore, there is a way, just like in corporeality, to enhance that desire through people on the outside who will compel him to follow their views and their spirit. This is done by bonding with people whom he sees that also have a need for spirituality, and the desire that those people on the outside have begets a desire in him. And thus, he receives a great desire for spirituality. In other words, in addition to the desire that he has from within, he receives a desire for spirituality that they beget in him. And then he acquires a great desire with which he can reach the goal.
וזה עניין של אהבת חברים, שכל אחד מהחברה.
Hence, the issue of love of friends is where each person in the group, besides having a desire of his own, acquires a desire from the friends. This is a great asset that one can obtain only through love of friends. However, one should take great care not to be among friends who have no desire to examine themselves, the basis of their work, whether it is to bestow or to receive, and to see if they are doing things in order to reach the path of truth, which is the way of nothing but bestowal. Only in such a group is it possible to instill the friends with a desire to bestow, meaning that each will absorb a lack from the friends, namely that he himself lacks the power to bestow. And wherever he walks, he is eagerly searching for a place where perhaps someone will be able to give him the power to bestow.
Hence,
when he comes into a group where everyone is thirsty for the power to bestow, everyone receives this strength from everyone else. This is considered receiving strength from the outside, in addition to the small power that he has within him. However, opposite him. However, opposite that, there is a force from the outside from which it is forbidden to receive any assistance, even though this force, which he can receive from the outside, will give him fuel for work. One should be very careful not to receive it. And one needs to take great care, because the body tends to receive strength for the work specifically from people on the outside. It comes to a person when he hears that it is said about him, for instance, that he is a virtuous person, or a wise disciple, or a man with fear of heaven, or when it is said about him that he is a man who seeks the truth. When a person hears these things, that his work is appreciated, these words give him strength for the work, because he is receiving honor for his work. And then he doesn't need faith above reason and the power of bestowal, meaning that the Creator will help him, and this will be his motivation. Instead, he receives fuel from the externals. In other words, the external ones compel him to engage in Torah and mitzvot, commandments. This is the issue with being humble. One of its reasons is so that there will be no nursing to the external ones. This is why one must walk humbly, as it is written, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. The external ones are people who are outside of him. They nurse on his work by afterwards, meaning after he hears that he is respected, he learns to work for the outer ones and not for the Creator. This is so because he no longer needs the Creator to bring him closer to his work, since now he is the operator because people on the outside give him the fuel to study and work for them. In other words, they are the ones who are compelling him to work, and it is not the Creator who compels him to work for him. Rather, others are compelling him to work for them so they will respect him, etc.
It
follows that this is similar to working for a foreign god. That is, they order him to work for the reward of respect and the like, which they will give him in return for engaging in Torah and mitzvot. This means that if they do not know of his work, and he did not see that there is someone who sees and engages in the Torah, there is no one to obligate him to work. This is called the grip of the external ones. And this is why a person must work in a concealed manner. However, working in a concealed manner is not enough. Although it is true that now only the Creator compels him to do the holy work, there must be one more thing. A person must work not in order to receive reward. This is a completely different matter because it is against our nature. We are created with a nature called will to receive. But now we must work only in the work of bestowal and receive nothing for ourselves. That we must seek out a society where each one believes that we must work to bestow. Since this is a small force within a person, he must look for people who are seeking such powers too. Then, united, each of them can receive strength from the others. And this is all that one needs. And the Creator will send him help from above that we may be able to work on the path of bestowal.
Rav Rabash kotev po.
Abash writes, against that there is a force from the outside that it is forbidden to receive any assistance from it, even though this force that he can receive from the outside will give him fuels to work. What is this outside external force?
Not in order to bestow. Not in order to bestow.
It's not a spiritual force?
If it's not in order to bestow, of course it's not spiritual. There's someone there? Yes.
It's a great article. How can a person work with people from whom he can receive strength and who to be careful from? But it's a Hanukkah article. He started with Hanukkah, and afterwards there's no mention of it. So what is the connection between this article and all the advice he gives and Hanukkah?
We need to see that the whole matter of Hanukkah is the connection between people and mutual bestowal. And the article, it speaks of this. How to come closer to the Creator, to not be a foreign king, and that you need to search for a society and work together. That's the matter of connection.
What
does it mean to work humbly? Concealment.
That I don't discover what I truly want in the depth of my heart.
In the tent too, is it forbidden to speak?
Actually, also in the tent. Even though everyone understands that each one yearns to reach the purpose of life, to give contentment to the Creator, to hear from Him advice, and so on. But still, it needs to be kept for a person. Most important thing a person keeps inside, and he doesn't let them burst out from within.
When he talks about external forces like respect and so on, can it also be forces in the tent when we respect each other? Should we be careful from this as well?
No, these forces, they don't separate human beings, and that is why you're not afraid of them.
Thank you.
He writes,
searching,
maybe
he will find someone who can give him the strength to bestow. Where do we search?
Everywhere. Seven is what is next to us, three is in front of us, above us, and seven is within us, in the connection between us. That's why it said seven eyes.
How do I see this force? If I look at the ten, how do I see the force to bestow?
You think that they have it. You think that they have it, that they all want to connect one with the other, and everyone comes and studies. And really, there isn't something that repulses you, that rejects you from them.
When I'm in the 10, I feel like I have an impression from this force. I overcome, and when the friends overcome, what that I see with my five senses, that they're making an effort to overcome, and this gives me a lot of strength. Should I be looking for this, or maybe that's too much? I just have to look and search for. How do I search for it?
You search for anything that can give you some movement towards the Creator.
And if in my five senses there are states where I'm impressed, for example, from an absence or from opposite states, how do I relate to that?
Well, there are opposite states that you need to justify. You need to say they have eyes, but they cannot see.
Should I come out from the premise? If I see overcoming gives me strength, if I see someone not overcoming, it takes away strength from me. So when I see not overcoming, I have to assume that I'm not seeing things correctly?
Yes, he who... Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, Rav. This prayer is for an individual. Yes, we say, "Mighty Rock of my salvation," and then establish, restore the house of my prayer. So it's surprising that it's, what is it, a preparation? Because it's not about the many.
That's the prayer of the individual. Yes, the prayer of the individual. Before everyone connects together.
So it's a kind of a prayer before a prayer, so it helps me direct all my inner systems.
Yes.
Thank you. He writes that if the heart is closed, we have to go above reason and say that everything is covered mercies, chasadim. And then he writes, after that, we need to pray to have revealed chasadim, mercies. What should we ask for there? What should we ask for in revealed chasadim in that state?
Chasadim migulim, pashut, yesh lanu. Revealed chasadim is simply vessels that we can reveal the qualities of the Creator. And by that, to see them, to reveal them, to feel them.
The fact that he went above reason, is this a new vessel in which,
to the extent that you want to open everything up, then it comes closed. To the extent that you want to close everything, then it comes to you to the same extent, open.
רב, בהמשך לשאלה של גלעד
בקשר להזנת you said there are things a person should keep inside and not reveal even to the ten. I always thought that in the ten you can open anything, everything. So what is it about? And are these only things that are connected to the sense, or is it also in a sense?
No. We need, and it really is a problem, we need to be careful to not open our hearts completely towards the friends, because just like we determine it, we are not yet in the will to bestow entirely. And we can, with our touch one towards the other, We can harm the friends with the evil eye or all kinds of things. And that is why we need to show on the outside, just like Rabash writes, only certain things to the extent we are attracted to the goal, to the extent we love and want to be connected to the friends. In other words, such inclinations that will all help our friends to reach the purpose of creation.
Please.
Yes,
Rabash writes, now he can work because people on the outside give him the fuel to work for them, because they compel him to work for respect, and not the Creator compels him to work for him.
Yes.
Our society respects and extols, we praise every person. So couldn't that make a person begin to want to get respect from the environment instead of working for the Creator?
I don't think so, because He learns from the environment that you need to be aimed straight to the Creator, Yasharkel.
So from what external force should we be careful?
Mainly pride, from the egoistic force. And to try in whatever you can to support the friends.
Respect in a society, can't it make a person get stuck or not be directed correctly?
Yes, it can.
So how does a person get out of it? How does a friend get out of it? How does he rise above it? Or maybe even use it as a fuel and not that this is what motivates him to work in the society?
If he studies correctly, then he receives this and that from the society. That he wants to receive strength in order to advance. And he sees that the egoistic forces are just against the process that he wants to go through.
Is respect in society a good sign or a bad sign?
Respect and honor is gives him the opportunity instead to come and respect the friends and respect the Creator. And by that, he rises.
Last question. How can we be impressed, inspired by each friend? What should we be looking for in each friend?
In each friend, I find the necessity to reach adhesion with the Creator through adhesion in society, that he wants to be connected with them. And by that, together with them, he wants to reach adhesion to the Creator. That's it. That's the matter of the group, that each one helps his friend, that in such a way, they can raise themselves. Yes. Yes.
Read here that the Shekhinah, divinity, is called a prayer. What characterizes a prayer that is received?
She becomes a kli, a vessel, for reception of light, of connection with the Creator.
The question is, what should one do so that his prayer will simply be granted?
To ask.
That's the problem. How do we ask? Abba said, ask. Okay, I'm asking, but...
Search.
Where?
In yourself. How do you need to straighten your heart so that it will tie you to the Creator?
And who can best help me to search correctly?
Your 10?
Can I ask them to help me?
Yes, you and everyone. Each one in the 10 needs that.
Even if I have a personal request?
I'm
not sure what you mean, but I think so. Even if I have a request.
רציתי לשאול, הוא כותב פה ש...
I wanted to ask. He writes here that in a group we can instill in each one a desire to bestow.
Yes.
What is this action that the group instills in each one a desire to bestow?
She prays, she pressures, she forces a person to want only the will to bestow.
How
can we work out of bestowal and not out of respect?
It depends on the force of the strength of the group, to what extent they are in control of a person.
What does it mean? What does it mean that in the group there is a control or governance of bestowal?
When a person that is in a group, he feels that the friends are only looking at that and only respecting that and only expecting that from him.
How does a person work with real fuels, as he writes, that you need to work with real fuels and not with egoistic fuels?
Yes.
So how do you obtain these real fuels and work with them?
You are constantly in a request to the Creator that He will do this favor for you, that He'll give you vessels that will be entirely aimed towards forces of bestowal.
But how do you obtain them?
Only through the request.
רק על ידי הבקשה.
Only through the request.
בקשה תביא.
Will a request bring a person the fuel of bestowal?
אבל הוא כותב ש.
Constantly he'll ask and he'll receive.
But he writes that the group instills in him the desire to bestow.
Okay, but after the group inserts in him this will to receive, sorry, the will, into the will to receive, the will to bestow, then he'll receive it. He'll receive this force.
Thank you.
רב, הוא כותב פה שהם מאוד צריכים להיזהר.
He writes here that we should be very careful not to be among friends who don't have a desire to check themselves, the basis of their work, whether the basis is to bestow or to receive. Sounds like the 10 should do such an examination every once in a while.
He needs to give conditions to each and every friend to check himself and then decide, is he staying in this or is he changing his ways?
So what does it mean to check ourselves, the basis of our work? How do we do such an examination?
According to the extent that he, how he treats the friend and how he treats the Creator, to that extent he can know to what extent his requests, his connections, his ties are such that pull him forward.
But he writes to check themselves, the basis of their work, whether it's to bestow or to receive.
Yes.
Usually we discover that what we thought previously was to bestow is actually to receive.
Possible.
So how do we do it? How often do we do it? How do we do this examination correctly?
How do you do it correctly? That can only be examined in relation to the friends.
Examine, what do we examine?
Examine if I can receive in order to bestow.
How do I examine?
to the extent that I appreciate them, to the extent that I subjugate myself towards them, to the extent that I see that they are great, important, that they are in front of me as a group, as a strong, beloved, special group.
And this has to grow constantly as opposed to what I felt yesterday.
Yes.
You gave an advice to search within ourselves for the prayer, to look inside. I see what I feel from friends and from Natan. A person who searches within him sees that he is completely empty. He's got no prayer, no connection or anything he needs from the Creator. How does a person who discovers such a thing work? What should he do?
That he has an empty kli, which is large, and now he needs to fulfill it.
With what does he fill it?
With wanting the Creator to be revealed there.
But the vessel he feels is that he has no need for anything. He has no need for the Creator. No need to turn to him. He doesn't have any request. He discovers emptiness. So emptiness in turning to the Creator. This is what he has. So with what will he fill it?
So he has nothing to ask for. Okay. So what to do? Turn to the friends, adhere to them, and together with them, try and feel who he can belong to. To yourself, to the group, to the Creator. And by that he'll arrange himself, he'll delve, he needs to delve into that.
I think it's a very frightening place for a person to feel empty completely and to understand that. From yourself, you have no need for this whole thing.
This emptiness comes to a person from the Creator himself. And when he enters into this emptiness, he understands that there, specifically there, he can build a place for prayer.
I feel that it's right before us. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Good. Nice.
What about me? So what should he do at that moment?
What does he want to happen to him?
He wants to find a place where he can get the power bestowed. The ego wants it for himself. And he thinks, no, I want to ask for it, because he's now told that he's now found out that he has friends and he was given a turn and he's impressed by what they want. And because of that, he wants to build his prayer. And then the ego comes and says, yes, but what about you?
Well,
so after he says, okay, this is my prayer now, Creator, please, from these deficiencies I found in the society, satisfy them so that in the way that they will, that will clothe in them, they will all bring you contentment and I will be incorporated in them like an individual in the collective. And the ego comes and says, wait, give me my own peace. What should he do at that moment? Should he cut off and say, no, now I have to sacrifice something? How does he face the ego in such a state?
He agrees to the fact that he is going to annul himself towards the Creator.
And why is the importance that he must end with praise and gratitude as well?
Otherwise, he isn't in contact with the Creator. That's why it's an axiom.
And the good sign is joy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Avir? Hello?
No? No?
Tov?
Okay.
Beseder. Hola.
Okay. Holland.
Good morning, dear Raf.
Morning.
It says in the article, it's actually continuing this discussion. It says explicitly in the article, he learns to work, let's say, for the outer ones and not for the Creator. So how do we shift, let's say, make the conditions to be able to annul or work for the Creator? And not only for the outer ones, for the friends, to be able to perform this vessel of bestowal. So how do we work with this shift?
According to what we've learned, that we are not permitted to engage in externality, but only in internality. In other words, that we need to assemble our intentions, desires, goals together. And to demand from the Creator that it will take place, that it will exist. And then to see to the extent that we succeed.
Mm-hmm. So what is the role of the, let's say, of the friends, and what's the role of the Creator? But we're also talking about prayer here. So we let ourselves influence by the friends, so we don't need the Creator, it says in the article. So which roles do the friend have, and which role does the Creator have in this article?
The friends, they carry the
bakashot,
requests,
tviot,
the claims,
tfilot,
the prayers,
tfilano,
our prayers,
ve'avore mikabel otam,
and the Creator receives it and ties them together in one connection. And by that, the friends connect with the Creator, as it's written that in it our hearts will be joyful. Actually, that's the only intention we need, that we'll all be included in the Creator, and it will connect us, and then we, in the connection between us, we will discover Him.
Mm-hmm. So what is my attitude towards the friends, and what's my attitude towards the Creator?
Mm-hmm.
that the friends are helping me, and that I'm with all the friends towards each and every one, and by that we're helping reach the correct intention, the intention of bestowal. And the Creator is the one that receives our prayer and raises us to Him.
Mm-hmm.
What do
we need, the Creator? Of course. How could we succeed without it? Our entire success is the Creator answering our prayers. Turkey 2.
Good morning.
Happy Hanukkah.
What kind of salvation of revelation do we need to reach in order to rise above the hatred and the pride?
During the connection between us, we have to understand that in the connection between us, we engender something new that didn't exist before. Which is the spiritual vessel. And if we achieve it, then we are already elevating ourselves above nature.
Tzafon 1.
Shalom Rav.
Hello, Rav. In the article we read, we learned that only in the group we extract strength to work in bestowal. On the physical level, our desire for unity is expressed that we hug when we sing songs together in the meal and in gathering of friends. I remember in the past you were asked, if a friend doesn't have one hand, or God forbid two, then you answered that the most important is to hug internally, and for that you don't need hands. Rav, please explain. What is a heartly hug?
When all the desires of one want to work for the sake of the desires of the other. This is an embrace between the hearts.
Woman Turkish Mone.
Women Turkey 8.
Sevgili Rav, makalede geçen dışarıdaki kişilerin pençesiyle ne demek istiyor? Biraz açıklar mısınız? Teşekkürler.
Dear Rav, it says in the article, the clause of the outsiders. What does that mean? The grasp of the outsiders.
The grip of the external ones means that all kinds of thoughts come to a person, and such desires that don't lead him to correction, but rather pull him towards all kinds of temporary animate pleasures and so on.
Kabu 10.
Hello, Rav. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. The question I've got is, with all the want to receive to bestow, I don't trust my own intentions. I don't trust myself. But I might secretly not want to ever do that because of my own ego. And I'm deeply suspicious about my actions when it comes to trying to reach that. I'm so in love with this world because it gives me so much pleasure. How can you ever overcome that? Distrust in your own self that you're doing the right thing for the right reason with the right intention. Thank you.
זה טוב מאוד.
It's very good. It's the truth. It's beautiful. Just continue. Just continue, because the Creator does everything. And if you don't trust yourself, it's good. It's great.
Thank you very much.
Turkey 4.
Turkey 4.
Rak Sameach, Rav.
Rak Sameach.
Rav, im adam yodea.
If a person knows that he doesn't need to reveal his sensations, his inner attainment, he knows that he doesn't need to talk about them, but at the same time, a person also wants to give some impression to the friends, an impression from his heart for spirituality in order to strengthen their faith. So there's a slight dilemma here. What does a person need to do?
As much as possible, be open toward the Creator. To do with Him whatever He thinks. That's it.
Спасибо, Раф. Вот строение доверия в группе, оно важно или лучше как бы довериться?
Building trust in the group, is that important, or do we just need to trust the Creator?
Ну вот один путь доверия, что мы.
No, support of the group is very important.
Те страхи, те.
Give one.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот вы сказали, вы включитесь в Творца, из этого включения попросите.
You said that you'll be included in the Creator, and from that inclusion, you will ask for a connection, by that he'll be revealed. What are those same steps in the work?
Incorporation in the Creator is when we unite and want only one thing, for a common desire, to be similar to that of the Creator, just like He wants to bestow upon us, we want to bestow upon Him.
And
what does it mean that we're included in Him?
Included meaning our desire is similar to His desire.
There is our desire. We are trying to build an intention in it to be similar to Him. And there is His desire. Is there some inclusion between the desires?
Yes, they are directed toward each other.
We, in our desire that's similar to His, do we start feeling Him?
Yes.
Sophie, and we're on the heading, the spiritual is a force without a body. The spiritual is a force without a body. This is what Kabbalists define as spirituality. And that is what they talk about. It has no image or space or time or any corporeal value. And in my opinion, philosophy has generally worn a mantle that is not its own, for it has pilfered definitions from the wisdom of Kabbalah and made delicacies with human understanding. Had it not been for that, they would never have thought of fabricating such acumen. However, it is only a potential force, meaning not a force that is clothed in an ordinary worldly body, but a force without a body. We're going to read it again. The spiritual is a force without a body. This is what the Kabbalists define as spirituality. And that is what they talk about. It has no image or space or time or any corporeal value. And in my opinion, philosophy has generally worn a mantle that is not its own, for it has pilfered definitions from the wisdom of Kabbalah and made delicacies with human understanding. Had it not been for that, they would never have thought of fabricating such an acumen. However, it is only a potential force, meaning not a force that is clothed in an ordinary worldly body, but a force without a body.
What does he want to tell us? Philosophy does not belong even to what it deals with because it lacks the vessels with which to investigate reality. And so everything it speaks of comes to it from its imagination, a wild imagination, typically. They speak without any basis, without any foundation. But that's how it is. That's what happened in history.
What is spirituality that has no image or space or time?
That is spirituality.
What does it mean that it doesn't have any image or space or time?
When we speak about spirituality, those are forces who have no expression in our world of feelings.
What are forces?
Forces, like you see in nature, there are many forces. There are also such forces that we cannot detect.
Why are there forces in nature that I can detect? And in spirituality,
that's how you're built. That's why they relate to nature as such that you can investigate everything and you can reveal everything, and they are without limit.
What's missing in our sensory receptions that we can, so that we could be able to perceive spiritual forces?
He lacks the vessels for it. He lacks the feelings for it.
What doesn't he have? He doesn't have the vessels for it. Can he develop them?
No, how come? If he lacks it completely?
So how does he know that there is such a thing? That it exists?
No. Let's say you lack a few senses. How can you tell that you missed them?
I hear people saying that there are some other senses.
Okay, that's okay. So you can also develop in you those senses. But if you never heard about their existence in this world, what will you do?
So now we're hearing from Baal HaSulam and from you and from the Kabbalists that there are spiritual forces that have no image, space, or time.
Yes.
How do we begin to depict, to locate, to connect to such forces?
It does not depend on a person. It depends on the desire of the Creator. To turn to a person and give him those senses that he can open and develop and feel through them a new reality.
And are there some kind of conditions for the Creator to give him those senses?
Yes, of course. These conditions are for
a
person to develop in his past incarnations and be capable of opening up these senses
in him these five new senses.
And then what are those five new senses?
Then he begins to feel in them an additional reality on top of what he's feeling already. In addition to seeing, hearing, taste, smell and touch, he begins to feel another reality. One that previously he did not think about, did not speak about, hear about.
Is part of work, man's work, depicting those spiritual forces, that spiritual reality, even before he attains them?
He can't do anything but to carry out a few actions that will help him come closer to opening up these powers. All forces of bestowal.
One person feels, I have developed vessels of bestowal, vessels of love, and in them I feel the spiritual reality. And next to him, there's another person who also feels, I have developed vessels of bestowal and love, and I'm revealing a spiritual reality of them. One that says he's a real Kabbalist, and one not. What technically differentiates between them?
That a third person comes and decides between them.
Well, what is that third factor?
He feels the one, he feels the other, and he says, in this one there are spiritual vessels, and in the other there aren't.
Wonderful. So that third one, that's kind of like the pure scale or measurement ruler? But the person doesn't always feel. So what is that ruler? What is that definition that cuts?
He is in truth, in a spiritual perception, and you can identify with the one who is in spirituality and the other one is not in spirituality. And there's nothing else to say besides that. There simply isn't.
Maybe this is an opportunity to scrutinize another thing. We are reading here about real Kabbalists who have a spiritual attainment. And we, thank God, get to study from Rav, the method of Rabash and Barasulam, how to also reach spiritual attainment.
Yes.
And we heard several times in the past from Rav that it could be people that are especially pure, and it's not through the method of work that we're learning and exercising between us in the den that we'll reach a certain attainment of spirituality, to a certain spiritual illumination, but it won't be true attainment. Can we scrutinize what's the difference between that specific attainment that very refined people can feel and the true attainment? What's the difference between the two?
Between imagination and truth, I guess, what you're describing here.
To feel a certain illumination for spirituality, not in an imaginary way, but in a tangible way.
Yes.
I heard several times from Rav in the past that there are certain very fine people that can feel a certain amount of spirituality, but it's not true attainment that it develops and grows with vessels, lights, screens, etc.
Attainment begins from a certain level of feeling, just like in this world. You have many people who exist, and they live. They know how to use this or that and the other, like little children or more mature children, that's how it is.
So those
little degrees with that certain illumination of spirituality, and especially pure person, can feel it that way?
There are those who feel more and those who feel less.
That doesn't yet reach a level that's defined as true spiritual attainment?
No.
What's the difference between a certain measure of illumination that a pure person can attain and that true attainment? Where's the definition that defines between the two?
Illumination and light.
So can we scrutinize the difference between the two?
No.
Nope.
I cannot say. So I cannot say, so it'll be clear. There's an illumination. So a person has a certain mood, certain, and then there's light that comes deliberately. He knows where to, what for, and so on and so forth.
So we can't explain it?
More precisely, no, because there are no vessels here.
It talks in the article here about the difference between those who feel spirituality and those who don't.
Yeah.
So when a person feels a certain illumination for spirituality because of the purity of his soul,
yeah,
he feels that specific illumination because of the purity of his soul. He feels it, right?
Yes.
It's a feeling.
Yes.
It's not, he feels.
Yes.
But he has yet to attain spiritual, true attainment that's Kabbalistic.
There is such a thing, yes.
So make this splice between the two, as far as definitions.
As far as definitions go, talk about it like Gar and Zat.
Katnut ve-gadlut.
Vessels of katnut, smallness and greatness, gadlut.
Nu az ma ze noten lanu?
So what does that give us?
I'm seeking to discern the difference between a person that feels a certain illumination from spirituality, and there can be many like that, and the person who attains spirituality, which there are probably less, and we need to work through the method of Baal Sulam, Rabash, and Rav, in the 10, etc., in great exertion.
Yes.
So I'm seeking the differentiation as far as definitions between this and that.
The difference in vessels. Either vessels of smallness, katnut, there's then a certain feeling, not so clear, and vessels that are under the control of the lower one.
Grupta bir makale okuyup onun içinden bir soru hazırlayıp konuşuyoruz. Konuşurken bunun felsefe olmaması için neye dikkat etmeliyiz?
We read the article and prepare question and talk. What do we need to pay attention to so that the conversation will not become philosophy?
We wish to know by which actions we can come to revelation. Revelation.
Has become the method that guides a person, explains to him how you live, what you live. And the people of Israel, the Kabbalists explained this to the people and guided them how to live. I'm talking about this split that took place in the people of Israel. Did it happen because the nation kind of descended and there's no guides, or what happened there?
Simply, instead of advancing using the wisdom of Kabbalah, they advanced. He's writing about it in a few places. They advanced through their intellect.
Is that like the Greek, we're now in Hanukkah, who started to bring a new method that some took, yes?
Yes.
My question now is, how do we return to the approach that there is no leaders as far as the Kabbalists, and not the Greek or the philosophy?
That's using Torah, when we connect between us and we demand the revelation of the Creator in the connection between us, and through the revelation of the Creator, we wish to rise to spiritual degrees.
And the people that are not in this, what do they need to do? They need to do acts of connection, and from that he'll get to know what, who, how the method works?
He has to learn how to connect. He has to learn how to connect. And from that he will learn about his, what his good future depends on, only connection.
Meaning as a method it would have to be clarified to him as something that does not lead him to the good. It will be this against that?
Philosophy works entirely, and that is a question really. It works not toward the connection of people. If it had worked toward bringing people together, then we would respect it, we would accept it, take it as part of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that we would make philosophy the intro into Kabbalah, but it's not the case. They turn themselves into a science, but a science without a root, without a foundation, no basis.
So
there are Kabbalists in every generation, but the people don't grasp them without connection. Rav, yes. And that's why Kabbalists were always far and few in between in every generation.
Can we continue with that?
Yes.
So science says, well, you can make any assumption, but you can also negate it. You can prove that it doesn't really exist. And that's how they build and synthesize analysis all the time. What's the difference between that and an attainment of a Kabbalist?
Attainment is truth. He says, he explains which vessels he's using to attain and what is he attaining. So, those who attain can see that he's right, he's correct.
But later, he himself will see that in the next degree there is something that...
No. We speak about science like science.
How does the Kabbalist relate to a degree that he already has a new degree and he looks at the previous degree? What does it say about it? That was the truth for the given time? Or?
No. It was the truth, but it was the truth on a lower degree. So what?
And he can't say that what I saw before was a mistake?
What you learned in the first grade is incorrect now?
Yes, but it's not spiritual attainment. First grade, second grade is just development of the brain.
So what?
So as far as he's concerned, there's no difference.
There's no difference.
Ken David.
Okay. There's an article that we read and we don't never ever give questions. And I want to ask a question because we're talking about it a lot now. In the prophecy of Baal HaSulam, he talks about him reaching very high up, but does not attain a certain thing that the sages are talking about. And the Creator tells him, do you want me to lower you a degree so that you'll understand what we're talking about? Dreaming that I'll get an answer that I'll be able to understand. But what happens here? Could it be that a person rises to a higher degree and does not have attainment? What's the difference between spiritual ascent and receiving a certain wisdom that a person can talk of?
There is a spiritual ascent where a person sees, but what he sees, he does not understand yet. Like a child, for example. On his degree, he sees something, but he can't understand what is he seeing. He can't penetrate the internality of this picture that he's seeing.
He doesn't have the details.
He doesn't know how it's working, how the parts are interconnected and so on.
I can understand that, but what's written there is that the Creator tells him, if you want, I'm lower you a degree so that you'll understand what's being spoken of. That's not clear. I'm imagining that if a person rises up, he understands, he grasps, he feels together with the vessels that are developing in him.
Yes and no. Well, so us, we see much more than what we understand. Even in our world, even now.
Maybe the philosophers now will come back to us. Maybe they saw, but didn't know how to explain what they're seeing, and they tried with their brains to explain it?
Yes, possible.
No.
Спасибо, Раф. Ну вот видим, что чтобы быть каббалистом, нужно идти за каббалистом след.
We see that in order to be a Kabbalist, we need to follow a Kabbalist. And then to be honest with yourself, change yourself.
Да, это не просто.
Yes, you're an egoist, love your friends.
Yes, not simple.
И вопрос, Раф, да, понятно, что любому обычному человеку хочется как бы, ну, взять что-то из
каббалы. And the question, it's clear that every regular person wants to take something from the wisdom of Kabbalah to himself, to his life.
Я не думаю, что можно что-то из каббалы сегодня применить в жизни. Кроме того,
I don't think you can apply something from Kabbalah in life today. That's the conditions in which we exist, meaning work, study, gathering friends, things like that. And gradually, it will influence us and the whole world.
If I can refine the questions that Oren was asking, the different Kabbalists had different qualities, let's say Baal HaSulam and Rav Kook, great Kabbalists of their times.
I didn't understand the question.
Are there great Kabbalists like Rav Kook and Baal HaSulam, but they probably he received the wisdom of Kabbalah differently?
Well, so what are you trying to scrutinize among them?
How a regular person can accept the fact that the Kabbalists are Kabbalists of truth, even though they express themselves differently.
I don't think there are any disagreements between them.
They're
simply people with certain different inner uniqueness.
Yes, I mean that they're not different, but they're expressing differently. And for a regular person, it feels that they're different.
Well, that's how they appear, but in essence, they're not.
Thank you, Rav and World Kli. I have a question regarding the article. What does it mean that even the name light is borrowed? What do we need to realize between us within noticing that it is not real?
כי אור, זה מה שאנחנו קוראים בעולם שלנו.
Light. We refer to light in our world, photons. It's nevertheless some form of some phenomena in physics. What's happening in the air and the water, whichever medium we see the light in, but in the wisdom of Kabbalah, light is something completely different. It's something that is given from the Creator to the created beings, and the created beings receive it, and then they feel also the source, the nature of the source in it, the Creator. It's not like what we think.
Rav,
throughout the years that I'm studying with you, you always described a certain degree of development or different things there that we learned with you. And after a few years, I don't know, a year or two, it is revealed. It always is revealed different than what we thought, opposite, and gradually we managed to connected to what you described.
Well,
that direct feeling of a degree that you're describing, also in the reality that's being revealed before our eyes, is that a certain measure of attainment in us?
Yes, of course.
It really strengthens us along the way, because it kind of like proves that the path is real and tangible. It's also in relation to the broad public as well.
If they have a desire, that's the whole thing. We can turn to audience that wants to have a desire. But if they don't have a desire, how will you give it to him?
Everyone wants proof and direction. The question is, can we take your states, these general states that you're describing, and connect them with the reality that's being revealed so that people understand?
Tell me, if we didn't send kids to school, how many kids would go to school on their own?
Not even one.
That's it. So what can you do?
So what should we do?
We try to reach all layers of the population and speak to them, awaken them, ignite them. But you see that it's not simple. People don't want to learn, they don't want to know, they want to feel, here and now.
No. Ken.
Thank you, Rav. It seems like the main difference between what's in the wisdom of Kabbalah that doesn't exist in anything else is the opening of the heart.
To
come such a feeling that you're not afraid, and you want it to truly clothe the heart of everyone. And when one does that, you can really feel that it emerges from this field that you want to connect to.
How to not forget that this will truly happen.
There's
no reason to be afraid. We have to go toward it with open hands and accept it and feel it. That'll be excellent.
And when we talked about being humble before that, maybe not to open up too much.
We need to be careful because we can harm people gravely by that, and that's forbidden.
No. готов.
Gracias, Rav.
Gracias.
Thank you, Rav.
Mencionaba que desarrollamos otros sentidos que no tenemos en este mundo. Por eso
vemos developing
pero no lo comprendemos.
A sense that's not in this world, and because of that we see a new world, but at first we don't understand it.
Si nunca hablamos,
so how do we understand this new world if we never talk about that which we feel and And those new degrees like that.
Just like we are born in this world, and we have a mother, relatives, a father. Really, the whole world is arranged in such a way to help us grow up healthy, smart, and so on and so forth. The same goes for spirituality. We are born in spirituality, and many forces, many spiritual forces conspire to help us stand up and get on our feet and grow up correctly. Don't worry. The spiritual world is waiting for us. It wants to develop us all the way to the end of correction.
Tel Aviv 3.
Yes,
Rav, in order for the Torah of the Ari and Baruch Salam will be used and be received as science, we will have to attain the study of 10 Sefirot with all the resolutions that are described there?
No, we can't. The study of 10 Sefirot is also not a complete book that speaks of all the different modes of the wisdom of Kabbalah that take place in the five worlds and so on and so forth. No. Things are missing there as well. We simply need to take what we need to take from there in order to enter spirituality, and then all of our development will depend on how much we are inside spirituality and we develop by ourselves.
Holland, one.
Rough. You said that philosophy is not, let's say, for the connection of people. So how do we correctly relate to philosophy in this way?
Doesn't grow out of the fact that there's a connection between people and they all come from one source. No.
Mm-hmm. Rav, you have, let's say, this dialogue, what they use in philosophy. Has that anything to do with the connection between people?
No.
No, their dialogues are also quite egoistic. No.
Tov. PT6.
PT6.
If we can say that a Kabbalist and the philosopher is in a person, so when do we get rid of that philosopher?
Not before we attain the goal, when it becomes clear to us what is the place of science, philosophy, and Kabbalah in our world.
On behalf of the degrees, is it till the end of correction or when we enter spirituality?
No, when we enter spirituality, it's clear to us what's going on.
Woman KW7. Oi, woman KW7. Sorry.
Thank you, Rav. Rav, I want to know
An attainment cannot be explained unless someone attains it, right?
Ken?
Yes.
Yes. You
of course, there's no attainment without the one who attains, because you don't have anything without a deficiency. You have someone with a deficiency, and then he attains according to the degree and the intensity of the deficiency.
Thank you. יש לנו עוד משהו, דודי?
We have something else, דודי.
כאן לא. כאן אני גמרתי.
Here? No, I'm done here. We have...
Woman have two.
Okay, women have two.
So, philosophy is actually built on methodical arguments that are rational. And in them, the five senses participate. But Kabbalah that we study, so we're different than philosophy, that we actually reveal the sixth sense. So how should we work with it, actually, in the ten? That it will lift us, and not like Baal HaSulam says that it lowers us.
We didn't reach the sixth sense yet. It's called faith above reason. It's not a simple thing. When we reach it and we investigate it and we get to know it, then we'll be able to also speak about it. For the time being, no, we can't.
Спасибо, дорогой Рав. Дорогая десятка. Я сейчас услышала, что из Каббалы ничего нельзя.
I heard you say that
в тех условиях, в которых мы находимся, работа и учеба.
You can't use anything from the wisdom of Kabbalah for our life, except for our conditions, the study, the...
в которых находимся мы,
and the whole world gets corrected with us. Will they reach the same conditions we're in, also study with us?
No. I think there will be different conditions for study and for life in this new generation. Not the way we see it today.
That's
how you see it?
Yes.
Вот-вот.
I see that it's really, it's at the threshold, we are approaching it.
We have enough.